and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today we're going to be talking about something that I see almost every day when I'm at work. I see it with almost every couple that I've dealt with, and it's a really important subject. We're going to be talking about sex. Okay, we're going to talk about good sex, bad sex, and whatever kind of sex, like no sex. So it's a huge issue in marital relationships, because when I do couples counseling, I see two main problems in relationships. The first one is really poor communication. The second one is no skills for conflict resolution. So sometimes couples, if they're talking about good stuff, you know, and fun stuff and not having a problem, their communication's okay. They don't need conflict resolution because there isn't a conflict going on. But a real barometer for how healthy your marriage, your partnership is can you communicate when things are bad? And a lot of people have no skills. They have no tools in their tool belt for that. And then the two main subjects that I see people struggle with most are finances and their sexual relationships. So whenever I'm seeing a couple in therapy, I'm watching how they communicate. I'm really kind of checking that out, asking them questions, asking them what's a typical conflict they have. And I invariably will hear, oh, we fight about money all the time. Or, you know, we do okay, but, you know, when we get in a fight, it just goes downhill from there and we don't know what to do. So they're telling me they don't have conflict resolution. So in lots of times in couples therapy, what I talk about is content, which is what you're fighting about, the subject. Like you're fighting about money, or you're fighting about your sexual relationship, or you're fighting about parenting the children. That's the what. The process is, how do you talk about those problems? So sometimes we're talking about content, how do you do with your finances, and sometimes we're talking about how do you talk about your finances. So the issue is not finances at that point, it's your communication skills about a problem area. So the reason I wanted to talk about sexuality today is because it is a huge problem in relationships, and we need to talk about it for you to evaluate your satisfaction in your relationship. Now, just as a caveat here, this is probably not a show that you want your children in the room for. I'm not going to be extremely explicit about anything, but I may occasionally say a body part or something that you might not want your young kids overhearing. So just a warning for that. Otherwise, what I'm really talking about is, I'm not giving you how to be better at sex techniques. I'm talking about, how do you sit down with your partner and evaluate whether your sexual relationship is healthy or not, whether it's what you want. Are you satisfied in your sexual relationship? And by satisfied, I mean, do you feel good about it? Now, let me give you a couple examples of stuff that I see all the time. I can think of a couple right now. They came in because they were trying to handle their adult child who was a drug addict. And it was tearing them apart. They felt like they didn't have enough tools. And they came in and said, we need to know the best way to handle this. They were a really healthy couple in terms of their communication and conflict resolution. And I was checking out how the stress of their adult son being a drug addict was affecting their relationship. And I asked them some of the questions I ask all couples, and one of them was, how's your sex life together? And they both said to me, we haven't had sex in 10 years. And we're okay with that, because it wasn't important to either one of us. In fact, we sleep in separate bedrooms, and we're happy with that, because we don't wake each other up, and we like to be able to move around and not worry about waking the other one up. And so I explored that just a little bit with them, and they were both happy. It's what they agreed on. They liked it. They'd been doing that for 10 years. They didn't feel the pressure of being sexual with each other anymore. And they were, when they came in to see me, they were probably 60 to 65, and they were just like, we don't need that in our life. That's not a problem when it's a mutual agreement. I see the other end of the spectrum, too, where I see one part of the couple sitting there going, you know, we never have sex, and it's really bad, and I'm constantly sexually frustrated, and then the other one's going, meh, it's not important to me. I see extreme different levels in sexual libido, meaning how often does one partner want to have sex or make love, and how often does the other one. And it isn't always that the men are the ones that want to get it on all the time, although that's kind of a myth. Sometimes it's men that have no sexual drive, and the women are saying, come on, let's do this. So you can see by even some of the things I'm saying already that we have issues with a bunch of different things when it comes to your sex life with your partner. Now, I'm not talking about people that have sexual addiction and they're out going on one-night stands all the time, or they have constant changing of partners or multiple partners. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sexuality in a committed relationship where you need to evaluate whether this is a good thing in your relationship or if there's problems. And if there are problems, by the end of this show, I want to be talking to you about how you can begin to fix those problems. So let's talk about where some of those problems are. With frequency, how often do you want to make love? How often does your partner want to make love? Technique, how good are you in bed? And it's so funny because I will often ask people, like it's not unusual for me to ask some 40, 50-year-old man who's back in the dating world, and I'll say to him, are you good in bed? And they'll go, oh, yeah. I almost always say yes. And I say, well, why? How do you know you're good in bed? And if they can't answer me, they're probably not good in bed, because there are certain things you bring to the table to be a good lover. And if they don't consciously know what those things are, they're probably either too shy or not educated enough to have the tools in their tool belt to bring an A game to the bedroom. So technique is an issue. Another issue between couples is attraction. You know, were you ever attracted to each other? Are you still attracted to each other? Boredom is another one. There are people that just want new. That's what I call it. They're the ones that tend to have affairs. They want the excitement and the chase of brand new. And it's very hard for a long-term relationship to compete with that if somebody's addicted to that kind of feeling. And that can be a sexual addiction. It can also just be a problem in the relationship. Then there's sexual disorders. You know, there's different kinds of things that can make it so sexuality is hard for you or for your partner. And it's really important to figure out what those are. So we're going to go to break in just a minute or so. And in the second part of the show, I want to talk to you about sexual disorders. And I want to talk to you about how there are physiological, psychological, and social issues to your sex life with your partner. And it's important for you to understand the differences when you're trying to figure out if your sex life is good or not, if it's supporting your relationship, or if it's hindering your relationship. And one of the main things here is you've got to have the communication with your spouse, with your partner, in order to say, let's talk about our sex life. And there's a whole lot of emotional stuff that gets in the way of being able to have a productive conversation that you feel will get you somewhere and won't turn into a big, huge fight, or that the other person's so embarrassed they don't want to talk about. Okay, so we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about those different types of sexual disorders and the different places that it can happen in your psyche and in your body and in your life. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and you're listening to Dream World, which is Randy McGinnis's CD, and it's beautiful Native American flute music. And right now you're listening to Stacy Nickel Miller playing cello, and she is...
Lucy Carlson.
Yeah, thank you. Lucy Carlson on violin. She's playing a kind of a deeper violin, it sounded like a cello for a minute. So Lucy Carlson of the Prague Symphony, who played on stage with Randy McGinnis in Prague. Beautiful, beautiful classical and Native American flute. Okay, we are talking about sexual dissatisfaction, sexual satisfaction. We're talking about good sex, bad sex, and the relationships that don't have any sex at all. So it's important. The most important thing, if you get anything out of this show, is you have to be able to communicate with your partner, whether this is working or not. And by the end of the show, I want to teach you some ways to go about maybe working on this issue with your partner. But right now, let's talk about a little bit of the sexual disorders that can go into messing up your head, messing up with your body, and messing with your sexual relationship with your partner. There are physiological, which are body problems. There are psychological, which are the emotional and mental problems in the way of a good, healthy sex life. And there are social problems. So when, like if I'm talking to a couple and trying to figure out if they say, oh, our sex life sucks, or we're fighting about it all the time, or I've given up. I hear that a lot. I'm tired of trying. I've given up. Or they're trying to recover from affairs. There's all sorts of different things I see with couples. But one of the first things I'm trying to figure out as a therapist is, are they talking about body problems? Is this something that we need a medical consult with a doctor? For example, premature ejaculation, ejaculatory incompetence, where they can get aroused but they can't, a man can't ejaculate, orgasm deficiencies where women can't, have never had an orgasm or can't get there, get over the hill to accomplish that. Are those physiological problems or are they psychological problems? An example of a psychological problem that affects your sex life would be if you have sexual trauma in your life. I see that often where For example, a couple I was seeing, and he said, I just have trouble with our sex life because every time we have sex, she just starts crying. And she said, I'm sorry, I just get triggered. And she was molested as a child for a bunch of years and worked really hard to kind of overcome that as best she could, but she would be triggered when she would have sex with her husband. And so that's an example of psychological issues in the way of having a healthy and satisfying sex life. Some social issues that can happen can be when you have religious differences and how you were taught about sexuality religiously. There are cultural differences where, for example, women being really into it or experimental or excited, in some cultures that would be seen as extremely taboo. And so it depends. Those are social issues that are the cultural, religious, social norms for how you grew up, which could be different from your partner, and how you are now, and what kind of influence that has on how you feel about your sexuality with your partner. So one of the first things you're going to look at in your own relationship, if it's having problems, is, are these physiological? Is it physical? Is it a body issue? Are they psychological? Are we in each other's way because of fears, our discomfort, our embarrassment, our body image problems, body dysmorphia, what I usually call the F and U's, the fat and uglies, and that gets in the way of being sexual and free with your partner. And then the social issues of where did you come from and what were the parameters socially put around your sexual relationship with your partner. For example, I saw a couple that he was extremely religious and did not believe in premarital sex, and she really liked him and they were really excited about being together, and they were getting engaged, and she said, we're engaged now, we can begin having sex, and he said, no way. And so she was trying to honor that with him, but she was pretty upset with it because she felt, I really want to know if somebody is compatible with me sexually before I marry them. And when I marry someone, I want to do it for the rest of my life. So it was an issue for them in their premarital therapy of getting ready. And they ended up deciding to wait. And he did not want to talk about it at all because he had a lot of religious taboos about talking about sex. And so it was a problem going into their marriage. And then later when I saw them in therapy, it was a huge problem within their marriage. And it was not for the physical reasons or for the religious reason of waiting. It was for the social embarrassment, guilt that he had been raised with, that it was a taboo thing. And that he was supposed to miraculously kind of undo that the day they got married. And that was, he was having a hard time with that. So he needed to work on that therapeutically. So let's look at some of the other sexual disorders that you might be faced with when you're trying to figure out, you know, how this works for you. One of them is a disorder of desire. Desire is kind of linked with libido. Do I want to, is what we're talking about. Do I have a desire to be sexual, to make love with my partner? Do I think about that or look forward to it, or maybe even think about, oh, the last time we made love was so wonderful. I felt so close to you. It was good. And then that leads to wanting more. So desire and libido, which is the I want to. Okay. Then there are sexual disorders of arousal. Can I get aroused? Can your partner get aroused? And I hear that one a lot in my office. Someone will say, you know, I love my partner and I want to be close and I really like hugging and being close, but I just don't get that feeling of I want to do this and I can't ever seem to get there. When men have trouble with arousal, they'll have trouble with erections. Women that have trouble with arousal might have trouble with lubrication, and they also might have trouble with the ability to begin to get aroused enough to have an orgasm and actually get there. So arousal and desire are two separate things. Then there is the disorder of orgasmic disorder or ejaculatory disorder. There are some men that can get an erection, but they can't ejaculate, and that's an ejaculatory dysfunction. And there's some women that can get aroused, and they've got the desire, but they just can't seem to get over that peak. Many women have described it to me as climbing a mountain, and they just can't get over the peak of the mountain. They just keep sliding back down the other side and can't get there. And so there's pre-orgasmic dysfunction, where a woman has never had an orgasm, she doesn't know how. And another one is, I know what it is and I've done it, but it takes a huge amount of work and I can't get there and it's not worth it and it's frustrating. And then I feel like I need to apologize for what I call it's taking too long syndrome. As men do this too, but as soon as women get into the this is taking too long, it kills everything. Because now they're feeling like they're judging themselves. So it gets really hard. Okay, then there is physical disorders in sexuality, which is pain. There are pain for some men with erections. There's vaginal pain for women. There's pain with intercourse. Sometimes there's physical pain like a bad back or a bad hip, or severe knee pain that gets in your way of being able to get in a physical position that you can get the pain calmed down enough to be able to focus on arousal and desire and then focus on trying to make it fun and good. And any of you that really suffer with chronic pain know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, okay, I got to figure out how to do this without my back screaming or without ripping and tearing and vaginal issues. So pain is a real thing. And this brings up another part of sexual dysfunction, and that is that many, many people are embarrassed to talk about sex. As a therapist, I try to normalize it as much as possible. One of the things I tell couples is I have spent 34 years as a sexual abuse expert, and I treat a lot of rape victims and a lot of molest victims and a lot of sexual trauma. So talking to couples about normal human sexuality is really easy compared to talking to somebody who's been through a horrendous trauma or even the offenders of that. I've dealt with many sexual offenders. So you need to know that when you need to talk to your medical doctor or your therapist about this, they are most likely not embarrassed. Now, if you start talking to your doctor and he or she shuts you down because they're embarrassed, you're talking to the wrong doctor. If you go to a therapist and say, we have a lot of sexual dysfunction in our marriage and we need some help, I would ask that question when you're signing up for therapy. It's hard for us to talk about it. We get embarrassed. We need to know if you're comfortable dealing with couples and their sexuality. Because there are therapists who would tell you, I'm not the best person for you to see with that. Let me refer you to somebody who is good at that. Because you want someone who's going to make you feel comfortable and help you answer the questions that you need to answer. Like, I see that as my job. Most couples aren't going to sit there and say, we have a great sex life or we don't have a good sex life. I have to ask the question. Now, I want to tell you the other piece of that. I see couples who are having problems, and pretty big problems, and they'll still tell me, oh, no, our sex life is our greatest strength. We're really good in bed together. We really love our sex life. We have a great time, and that's really been the glue that's been holding us together because we really have a problem in a bunch of other areas. So what you need to understand is there are couples that have other problems, but they keep their sex life going. Now, that is more unusual. Your sex life is usually a barometer, like a thermometer, for how your relationship is doing. And often when I see people that really love each other and they have a really good sex life together, but they have other problems to work on, it's like they've already got a strength that's really cool in their relationship, and it's something that we can work with. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about what do you do when you really love your partner, but there's a really bad sex life. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and you're listening to First Journey from Randy McGinnis' CD, Walking with the Spirits. It's just a beautiful, beautiful CD. Thank you, Randy McGinnis, for allowing us to use your Native American flute music on this show. You can go to randymcginnis.com, his website, and check out all six of his CDs. They're all different, and they're all beautiful. Okay, so let's look at one of the things I see in my office, and that is you've got a really good partner. You love your partner. Might be the parent of your children. You've been together for years. And the sex is terrible. And terrible for many of those reasons. Maybe you've lost attraction to each other. Maybe your life is so busy that you have too many irons in the fire and there's no time. Because it takes time to have a good sex life. You have to have some intimacy and connection. And in case you haven't figured this out, sex starts long before the bedroom. Sex starts with coffee and kisses and talking with each other and laughing and intimacy. I mean, you might work in the garden all day laughing and talking and having a great time and then look at the garden and say, wow, it looks so good. Look at what we did. And that's intimacy building. And that is connection that can translate into later in the bedroom feeling connected and happy and loving each other. But you have to allow that. You have to let it translate into the bedroom. So what do you do when you really love your partner and your sex life is horrible? And I know there's a bunch of you out there going, I know, this is really sad. Because you want to have... So when one partner wants a connected, loving, vibrant sex life and the other partner kind of doesn't care, that's a huge disconnect. And I'll talk to couples lots of times and I'll say, you know, my worry for you two is that you're at different ends of the spectrum here, for one of you really wanting a healthy sex life and the other one not caring or has arousal issues or has physical issues that they're not treating. For example, alcoholism is a real sex killer. And you might think, oh, a glass of wine or two and you're relaxed and you're having fun. It's the severe alcoholic will ruin erectile function, will ruin a lot of physical health that goes into a healthy sex life. So alcohol is an issue, drugs and alcohol too. And there's other physical issues. We're going to go into those. But right now what I want you to look at is when one of you wants to have a good sex life and the other one pulls away or doesn't care or acts like they're not attracted, then what can happen is the couple relationship is in danger. And I talk to couples about that. I say, look, right now you're not dealing with a fair recovery. Nobody has left this marriage. But I'm hearing that you, partner one, is really unhappy and disgruntled and dissatisfied, and it's putting a real blotch on the happiness of this relationship. And the other partner will often say, I try to fix it, and I don't know. It's just not working. And so as the therapist in the room, I say, wow, this couple's in trouble. And I want to try and start looking at what is in the way of them having a healthy sex life. So I'm looking for physiological, psychological, social issues that are in the way. I'm looking for sexual disorder things of desire and arousal and performance and orgasmic and ejaculatory abilities. And so I'm trying to say, where do we need to focus our attention to work? What I want you to hear is that even if there are any of those kind of problems, they are all workable. They're entirely workable. I'm thinking of a couple that I had that had been married probably 35 years, and he came down with prostate cancer, and he ended up losing all erection functioning, and they had had a healthy sex life before he got prostate cancer. And they came in to work with me and said, we don't want to lose our healthy sex life, even though it has drastically changed because of this cancer. So we had very candid discussions about other things they could do that didn't involve erections. And they had to open up and talk to each other about what worked and what didn't. So I would send them home with homework, sexual homework, for them to be talking and exploring what they liked and what didn't work. And they ended up creating a beautiful and vibrant and fun sex life for themselves, even though they now had a physical problem that was in the way from what they were used to. And in some ways it was kind of cool because they said we had to reinvent ourselves, and it turned out to be kind of fun. So a lot of what happens to sexuality in your relationship is about your attitude. And so the first thing I'm looking for is, do you have a good sex life and do you both agree? Because I cannot tell you how many times I see a couple sitting there in front of me and one of them's going, yeah, we have a great sex life. And the other one's leaning back and kind of doing the little head shake like, nope, we don't. And so I'm very tactful. I don't go, well, he or she doesn't think you do. I'm just like, note to self, there's some disagreement on this. And then I'll bring that out. But they have to become safe with me and know that we can talk about this in a practical kind of way without it being goofy or embarrassing or so losing all privacy. But you have to be able to talk to your therapist and you have to be able to talk to your medical doctor to get some help for some of this stuff. And it is possible. And about the only thing that's hard to treat are the neurological problems that impede sex sometimes. So that's where you have to get creative with talking about this stuff. And that's where a therapist can help you. Like me sending home communication exercise about their sex life for them to talk about what works and what doesn't work is half the battle. And it's a big part of whether your sex life is good or not. Okay, so let's go back to the question I'm asking you. What do you do if one of you really likes your sex life and the other one is like, oh, I really love my partner, my husband, my wife, and I don't want to leave. We've got kids. We have history together. We've built, I always call it building the empire and what it takes to run the empire, and you've got it based on two salaries or whatever. I don't want to leave, but I don't know if I want to live with a really bad sex life for the rest of my life. And what I like is when people can finally say that. So if you're struggling with that and you've been thinking about, well, I'll just go have an affair, that's not a good thing to do because affair recovery has so many implications that you don't even know about. Listen to my podcast called Affair Recovery and listen to my podcast called Why People Cheat. those are really good ones to hopefully prevent some affairs because they're really hard to recover from. But if you've been thinking, I'll just take care of it myself, I'll try and shut it down, some partners get into porn as they're trying to take care of their sex life all by themselves. But if you go into a good therapist and you say, look, we have this incredible relationship and I love it and I don't want to lose it, but our sex life is horrible and we need to fix that and I don't know how to fix it. I've tried every which way to talk about this or to guilt him or her into it or beg or plead or whatever and it hasn't worked. But if you can get into some good therapy where a therapist can lead you into talking about the things that you haven't either known to talk about or you didn't talk about because you're too embarrassed or you didn't know how to bring it up, a good therapist can help you figure that out. And that's really important. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the medical aspects that can happen with sexuality. Dr. Malachi and I sat down and talked about this because I wanted to check out some of the things that I tell couples to go talk to their doctors about. And Dr. Richard Malachi is an amazing physician and family practitioner, family practice medicine. And he said he talks to people about sex almost every day, and he tries to make it really comfortable for them. He said if men are over 40, he automatically gives, when he does a physical with them, he checks their testosterone because after 40, testosterone production can go down and that can have a definite effect on your sexual abilities, like the quality of an erection and your arousal and your desires because low testosterone can make you depressed and make you non-functional sexually. He also likes people to know sometimes when they're on a medication that can affect their sexuality. For example, blood pressure meds, antidepressants, benzodiazepines. Those are all medications that sometimes he'll tell them, look, take this in the morning because it's going to affect you less sexually if you tend to be sexual at night with your partner. So he's trying to tell them if you can take it 12 hours away from where you're going to be sexual, it will have a less of effect on you. And then he taught me something that I have never known in all my years of private practice. I've always talked to people about SSRIs, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors that are the antidepressants, and that sometimes when someone's been on an SSRI for a long time, it can lead to sexual dysfunction. And dysfunction can be arousal, desire, or ability. Or orgasmic ability. Sometimes they can get aroused and want to have sex, but they can't get off. So he said, for what he calls the 2-minute wonders, it's funny when he said that, the 2-minute wonders are men that can't maintain intercourse long enough for it to be satisfying for their partner. And they're the, and I said the 2-minute wonders. I said, I usually talk to couples where it's the 30-second wonder. And he goes, well, there's those two. But he said, if they are on an SSRI and they take it half an hour before they're going to have sex, so they move their antidepressant to a time of day when they're going to have sex, he said it because it has ejaculatory incompetence properties, which means it makes it difficult for a man to ejaculate, he said if you take the antidepressant about half hour before you have sex, it lets you last a whole lot longer. I went, well, that's kind of cool. I never knew that. So learn something new every day, right? The other thing is he prescribes Viagra and Cialis and the different enhancement drugs for sex to men and to women because they are blood flow increasers and they help the blood flow and they help the quality of the veins in the genitals. It makes orgasm and ejaculation and erection much more makes it easier, and more able to maintain it. So those are things you can talk to your doctor about, too. Insurance covers those drugs now, and your doctor will talk to you about the different advantages of the different ones. But women, if you're having trouble as you enter menopause or as you're on hormone replacements, or you're on an antidepressant or something like that, talk to your doctor about you being on Viagra because it can help women have orgasms as well as helping men get and maintain an erection, so sex is more satisfying for them too. All right, so the bottom line here for the medical aspect of this is you need a doctor that you can talk to. Don't worry about whether he or she gets embarrassed as long as they're listening to you and answering your questions. But speak up. And remember, these doctors hear this all day long. I hear it all the time. So a good therapist and a good medical doctor has talked about sex already 5 times before you even came in that day. So don't hesitate and don't let your embarrassment get in the way of you having a satisfying sex life. Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to give you things you can do to start to fix a bad sex life. Be back in a minute.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us 2 ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Hi, this is Nigel.
And James.
How are you doing, James?
I'm good.
Hey, you want to tell everybody who's going to be our guest on the next show?
We are going to have Donna Jamian and Matthew Giles, and we are going to be talking about the new technology sweeping the world, 3D printing for homes.
Homes. Yep. Here in Reading, too.
Yes, first in California, right here in Reading.
I can't wait. So listen to the show Wednesday evening, 6 to 7. Nigel and James.
All right.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we're talking about sexual dissatisfaction. Good sex, bad sex, and the whatever, no sex kind of thing that happens in relationships. It's a huge problem with couples. So if you're nodding your head and going, yep, that's us, you're not alone. It is the most common problem I see in my office. That, along with people messing up their finances, are not agreeing on finances, or one person controls them and the other one feels like a baby that gets an allowance. And I hear the financial part all the time. In fact, I'm going to have to do a show on that because it's huge. But we're talking about sex. So in this section, I want to give you a few things that are going to help. And I'm going to tell you some of the homework that I give couples to work on to start to fix this problem. You have to understand that around couples' sexuality, there are myths. One of them is what's called the Madonna whore myth, and that is that good girls aren't sexual. They're either the whore, or the woman who is like all sexual and vibrant and really wants it, or you're the Madonna, which is the virgin birth, that you're not a good girl if you want sex. You need to be a Madonna and not the other. And what's really interesting is when I see couples where they really liked their premarital sexuality that they had, and he loved it, that she was into it and vibrant and all of that, but then when they got married, there was a shift, a social shift is what it is, that now you're my wife, you need to step into being the Madonna role. I can't tell you how, over 30-plus years, how many couples I've said, we were great until the day we got married, and it all shut off. And that goes both ways. You might think that's the woman doing that to the man, But no, it is sometimes a man doing it to the woman. And I got to tell you, I've dealt with so much sexuality that I will not say these are all female problems or these are all male problems. I see just as many males with desire and arousal problems as I do females. I see just as many males that have ejaculatory incompetence as I see females who have orgasmic problems. So this is not about gender, you guys. This is about our brains. And our brains tend to be not specific to all men do this or all women do this. Your brains are kind of individual. So if you're nudging your partner or thinking, I got to get my partner to listen to this, that's a good start, okay? So one of the things that you want to do to fix this is you want to say to your partner, you want to sit down and say, hey, I listened to this show Dr. Patty did about good sex and bad sex, and I want to talk to you about our sex life. What do you think of our sex life? And I'm going to give you the best communication hint that I can give you. Be quiet. Ask the question and then shut up. It's so hard for people to do. So you look at your partner and say, I really want us to talk about our sex life. Are you willing to do that? And can you tell me how you feel about our sex life? If you're getting embarrassment, and get difficulty talking, and I don't want to talk about this. We're fine. Then there's a problem right there, because if there's a lot of embarrassment and difficulty communicating about body parts and about arousal and things like that, that's one thing that's in the way of your sex life. And that's why when I see couples, I'm trying to establish where is the problem. Like, did they used to have a good sex life and then it stopped? Can they talk about anything? Or do they never tell each other anything? So sometimes what I'll say is, tell me something that you like with sex with your partner. What do you like about it? And if they, some people go, oh, I love it when we, and fill in the blank. And then some will go, oh, that's so embarrassing. Oh my gosh, I don't want to, you know, and they can't. Because they see it as something taboo or dirty or embarrassing. So a piece of homework that I would give you for your partner is first to sit down and say, hey, we need to work on our sex life. Are you willing to do that? Then be quiet. Let them answer. Then you can say, Dr. Patty did a show on this. Will you listen to it with me? And hopefully they will. And, I mean, you could joke around a little and say you can wear sunglasses or, you know, we can sit back to back while you listen to it so we don't see each other's faces. I mean, what if you need to get through it? But I would like you to be able to tell each other three things that you really like when you're making love with your partner and three things you really don't like. That's another thing I hear in my office a lot. She'll say something like, I hate it when he blah, blah, blah. And he'll turn to her and go, we've been married 20-something years and you've never told me you hate that? Oh, my gosh. Because they don't talk and they don't ask, right? And that's the interesting thing. If I'm talking to a person alone and I might say, do you know what makes your husband want to make love with you? And some women will say, just walking out of the bathroom in my underwear, even my gross underwear, not even my good underwear. And we usually laugh. But what I'm looking for is, do you know what he likes sexually and what he doesn't like sexually? When I ask men that, they're often absolutely clueless, because a lot of men, and this isn't just gender, but many men think they're really good in bed and they have no idea what they're doing. And part of the cultural thing that happens is women have to go, oh my gosh, you're so good. They have to fake an orgasm. They have to basically make love to the man's ego and puff him up a little bit so that he goes away feeling like, yeah, I got this. And then he feels good, and then she's like, okay, took care of that for another week or two. Because it turns out not to be about sexuality and sexual satisfaction and physical intimacy and fun together. It turns out to be preserving the marriage and making it so he doesn't want someone else, or making her happy with you so that you can relax for a little bit, not have to service her again. Whatever those thoughts are that go through your mind, they are relationship destroyers. And if you can't sit down with your partner and say, give me some things that you really like that we do, give me some things that we do that you wish we didn't do again. I'll tell you a funny story. I had one woman, she and her husband, we're talking about how do they get ready to make love because they had a really problem getting it going. And he said, well, I just walk out of the bathroom naked, and he basically waggles it in front of her. And he thinks that that was like the total turn on. And she's like, oh, God, I wish he wouldn't do that. I have a great poker face, you guys. I didn't even laugh. So I can laugh about it now. It was years ago. But he had no clue that when he walked out of the bathroom, strutted around like a peacock, waggled it around, that didn't make her want to just jump his bones. It was really funny. So we had to talk about that. And she finally said to him, don't do that. He was like, oh, I didn't know you didn't like that. I thought it really got you going. But she never said anything, and he never asked. Okay? So listing what you do like and what you don't like is super helpful. The other thing is thinking outside of the bedroom. Like, are there any other places that you make love that you're willing to or you would want to? Or absolutely no, that's not going to happen. Or I've heard couples say, you know, when we first got together and we were making out in the backseat of the car, that was so hot. And we don't do that since we got married. And I mean, I hear things like, well, there's car seats back there now. And when do we ever go out? And when we do go out, I'm so exhausted. We used to call this the crowded years with little kids. But if you have some kind of fantasy that you would like to talk to your spouse about or your partner, you have to have the form of communication to bring that up. So sometimes I send couples home with, I want you to figure out what your best fantasy date night would be. And it's not just go out and eat dinner and get drunk and come home and get it on. What makes a good intimate connection? And what makes you want to make love with your partner? And how is the best way for that to start, to begin? Because I often hear in my office, okay, it's like, all right, do you want to get it on? Sure, let's get this over with. And we get in bed and we just do it. And it's boring and it's repetitive and it's like scratching an itch and we're done and we don't have time and we're too tired anyway. Is that your sex life? Because I hear that a lot. And some of it has to do with the crowded years with little kids. Some of it has to be to do with boredom, and you've been doing this for a long time. Some of it is a total fear of failure. Because once a man has erectile dysfunction, the fear of having ED again creates ED. Because the anxiety of what if it happens again? Oh my gosh, I can't do this. It's the same type of anxiety that a woman will feel when she'll go, oh my God, this is taking too long. I can't get there. It's taking too long. Oh, I give up. Fine, fake an orgasm. I hear that so often, you guys. So if that's what you've been doing, you're not alone. There are something like 18% of all men fake orgasms and something like 34%, don't quote me on the exact numbers, but there are a significant number of women that fake orgasms, and there are men that fake orgasms because they can't get there from here. So if that's happening in your relationship, it means there is not a vehicle for communication. There's not a vehicle for the conflict that's happening in your sexuality. So it's really important for you to recognize that there are problems with desire and arousal. And there's unequal sex drives. And there's a problem sometimes when one partner is more experienced than the others. There can be jealousy and difficulty, like not wanting to show that you know something more because it will bring up that subject of, did you do this with your last girlfriend? Did you do it with your last boyfriend? So there's hesitancy. There's sexual trauma. Then there's the crowded years, the kids and the dogs and the dishes sitting in there. And there's a whole lot of stuff that gets in the way. So, you know, if there's a canary in the coal mine that's dead, it's something to look at. Because if your sex life is dead, it needs CPR. It needs to be revived. And it is really, really possible and kind of fun work once you get over, I'm talking about my sex life with my therapist or my doctor. So it's good. So if you have a sex life that you're dissatisfied with, even if it's a no-sex life, know that there is help. And there are therapists out there that specialize in dealing with sexual disorders and can help you. So I'm hoping that this show got you thinking. I know it didn't fix everything. I know it's a call to consciousness that when you have a good sex life or a bad sex life or just a whatever, no sex life, it's okay for you to get some help. So this is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell that I've turned into my podcast, Therapy in a Nutshell Podcast. It's on any podcast forum. And through this radio show and through my podcast, I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.